Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Well,
there he is.
Yeah. One minute late, huh?
I knew you were going to say something. I knew you were going to try and say
something. That's how you're doing it now? One minute late?
I've never been anything but 5 minutes early. I knew you were going to say some shit.
1 minute late, and you got a hat on and everything. Look at you. You got a little scully on.
Don't you find this weather in LA is like, if you stand in one spot, it's hot, and if you stand in another spot, it's cold?
Isn't that called... global warming?
No, it's probably called fall in LA, because in the sun you could wear a bathing suit, and then in the shadows I need my hat.
Isn't that called global warming?
Yo, it's voting day. This is fucking election day, everybody. It's
holy
the day.
Cow. Yo, first of all, you voted already, obviously.
Yes, of course. I went and dropped it off in the ballot box in West Hollywood. Hell yeah.
I did so myself, not in West Hollywood. But in my neighborhood, I'm really excited about the turnout so far.
Yes.
I am. You know, you guys aren't going to hear this until... When does it come out?
Election day. This will be Tuesday election day.
So we need to be encouraging
people who haven't done it to do it. That's why we're here. Forget the Scrubs podcast. We're here to tell you to vote.
No, that's not why we're here.
All right,
But not only that, tonight... For all of you who've gone out and voted already, you get to watch television and watch the election. And this probably is going to be, like, they're taking bets on this election. This is the most anyone has ever put money down on
elections.
I know, but
we need to warn people as a public service announcement, right, Daniel and Joelle, that we may not know these results on Tuesday. Trump is very, 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 very committed to saying, we need to know the results that night. That's bullshit. Because of the incredible surge of mail-in voting, some states aren't even allowed to start counting until the day of. So everyone needs to be prepared and prepare their friends that this might not be the typical situation where we know the result tonight. Sorry, I have to speak like we're like it's Tuesday.
Probably closer to 2000 when we had the whole like hanging Chad Florida votes kind of thing happening. It'll be a similar situation to that where probably a week or so after we'll have a final. Florida once again
is the biggest. Whoever wins Florida is probably going to win this election once again. And Ohio too, probably, but
Pennsylvania.
Florida once again.
Pennsylvania
is really the one.
Pennsylvania, and the surprise of Texas, because there is a little Texas talk about Texas flipping, which would be Texas all of a sudden too.
That would be amazing, right?
That feels like a long shot, but there is talk of Texas flipping.
More people voted this year in Texas already than they voted in 4 years ago.
Right.
In 2016.
It's amazing.
More
so
people
listen,
already.
Listen, here's your public service announcement from your good friends at Fake Doctors, Real Friends. If you're listening to this and you haven't voted yet, we're begging you. We're down on our knees. Please go vote.
Yes.
Participate. Please.
Please. Please.
I just want you to speak your mind. You know, I'm not the one that's going to sit here and tell you who to vote for. Just go out there, speak your mind, make your voice heard.
I just want to say, please, please, please vote. I am on my knees. What's that song? I'll get down on my knees, kiss the ground that you walk on, baby.
I just know I'm down on my knees, begging you, please, baby, come back. I've already let you go.
Donald, you've got to believe
in the feeling of love. If infinity won't hurt anymore, don't want to believe our love. If whatever the fuck he said, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please come home. Can we go back to the days our love was gone? See how I modulated?
That was good. Who
can
is that?
You tell? You don't know who the fuck? You what? Wait, what?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Don't judge me.
What?
Is it a Brian McKnight?
Oh my God. The fact that you know who Brian McKnight is already, thank goodness. But no, wrong black person. Wrong black soul singer.
No, it's an R&B soul singer. I don't know. Who is it?
It's Boys,
Boys to Men.
Men.
All right, calm down, dude. I'm sorry I don't know Boys to Men. I only know it's, at the end of the road.
That's what I was just singing, you moron.
Oh, well, I only know the fucking chorus, dick fuck.
Oh my God. Cock soak.
Cock soak? That's not a diss.
Yeah, it is.
I like making up new disses for you. Anyway, so please vote. We're begging you. We're begging you. We're begging you.
Somebody just heard my phone ringing. My phone was so loud in my headphones. I'm sure you heard.
We didn't. And then also, please, the other public service announcement is prepare your friends and community that tonight might not be the night that you know. And don't let... don't let anyone tell you differently because of the obscene amount of ballots they're going to have to count.
Well, not just that. Also, if it doesn't go your way, please don't fucking go crazy and
please don't loot.
Please don't start a civil war.
Please don't loot.
Let's not have a civil war.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah.
Please don't make that be what happens.
I have a friend who left the country. He's like, "Fuck this. I'll see what happens." Then that's one way to go. Let's talk about Baby Yoda, because that was supposed to be your surprise. Now, as some of you will recall, I told Donald that I arranged for him to get a very special present. The plan was for him to open it live on the air. He doesn't open it live on the air. He opens it. He posts about it. Doesn't even text me. Doesn't even say, like, dude, how dope is this? Thanks for hooking it up.
It didn't say it was from you. It said Sideshow Collectibles.
Yeah, well, Sideshow Collectibles hooked it up because of me.
It didn't say, yo, because of Zach, you're getting this Baby Yoda. Yeah. Donald Faison. I thought Sideshow was just looking out because they know I love Star Wars.
No,
Zach,
they weren't.
I'm going to take this moment on Fake Doctors, Real Friends to...
Go ahead.
Shout out a best friend of mine.
Go ahead. Better be
he always looks out for a brother.
I do.
Gets me toys.
Yep.
Buys me toys. We collaborate together.
Loves you.
And loves me.
Sends you funny gifts.
Sends me funny gifts as well. And Seth Green, thank you so much.
Why Seth Green?
Because he does that for me.
No, this is not Seth fucking Green.
Oh, wait. My bad.
Joelle, that was not that funny, A. And B, I'm sliding this tear over.
Hold up. Let me keep it 100. Zach, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's actually something that is sitting in my room where I... watched The Mandalorian 4 times already.
You've already watched it 4 times. It came out today.
It came out today. It came out when it came out. This is supposed to be Election Day, but it came out.
Well, we record this on Friday, and it came out on Friday.
Anyway, and I...
I haven't seen it, so no spoilers, but did you like it?
Oh, it's so fucking dope. Oh, excuse my language, George Lucas and J.J. Abrams.
Excuse your language. We're calling each other curses all
from
day.
From here on out, when I talk about Star Wars, I'm trying my hardest not to curse.
Okay.
I'm gonna respect Star Wars so much that I'm gonna curb my language when talking about Star Wars. Okay. But it's so amazing, dude. I enjoyed it so much, and a friend of mine's in it, and it was just something that I, you know, somebody who I played basketball against and somebody who I played, you know, on the same team and also, you know, celebrity all-star games and stuff like that is on The Mandalorian in this episode and has some iconic stuff going on with him. And it was just really awesome to see.
Joelle, did you watch?
I watched it twice. I loved it. I thought it was really good. It's so much more improved. It proves a lot on season one. I think they learned a lot from how they shot it. I feel like there's a lot more depth. I thought the Western aspects of it soared. And there's like... the way that they bring up small things in the background of the movies and make them the center of the show is just... Yeah. Like, it just fills your Star Wars heart with love. It's so good.
Yeah. Daniel, you see it yet?
No, I have not watched it yet.
I think I have to wait for my girlfriend. She's out of town, but back tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I have to wait.
Why?
Because, you know, I don't know how it is with you and your relationship.
I didn't wait for my wife.
There are shows that we get in, we have to wait, or we have, you know, we share it. She loves it too, so we watch it together.
Have you started watching The Bachelor yet?
You know what I have to do? I didn't watch that shit.
You don't watch The Bachelor?
Okay.
I mean, well, this is the one, it's The Bachelorette right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched like the first episode and I was like, this is so stupid. Why am I watching this?
Oh yeah, my gosh.
You know.
What?
Sure.
It's
whatever.
Candy.
Yeah.
You watch it with your wife. You watch with your wife.
Daniel, it's so tasty.
It's
so tasty.
It's just sour patch kids.
It's like you're going to see a Marvel movie and you've got all of the freaking candy in your lap. And
it's the Marvel movie for drama.
I'm so confused.
Just like
I don't like the ones where it's men competing.
It's to see how petty men can be.
I think the women fighting is way more entertaining.
That's like freaking stereotypical.
I'm just telling you what I prefer. I'd rather watch a bunch of women argue than watch a bunch of men argue. I'm sorry.
It's way funnier to watch men try to stay in between the lines of not getting punched in the face and still trying to insult somebody. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
She seemed in love with the black guy who's the first guy she met. It was like, oh, it seems like it's over. She was just like drop-jawed.
It is over. A new bachelorette will be on. And the two of them run off together.
Wait, in the middle of the show?
Yes,
in
three episodes.
Third episode. Disney, ABC, ABC, you're welcome for this.
You're welcome, shameless. So, and some people might be upset by spoilers, but I don't give a fuck. You're telling me she picks the black guy like three episodes in, and they have to change the person out.
They changed the bachelorette out, and some of the dudes especially after like all of the Me Too stuff has happened, and you start to recognize as a man some of the things that aren't acceptable anymore and how men talk to women and how all of that happens and stuff like that. You really see at least one dude just go into like a tirade where it's like, dude, you're trying to pull a power move on this young lady. And that is totally whack. And then she flips it and she's pulling power moves on these dudes just for this one dude, this one guy, man. It's like,
about The Bachelorette, a Marvel movie.
When it came on, I told my wife, I'll be in the other room. Please don't bother me. I went to the fridge to get some GT's kombucha.
Mm. Yeah.
And as I'm grabbing the kombucha, within seconds, I was already making my way towards the couch asking, wait, what? Dude,
is this the only thing that you and your wife watch together?
Yeah, because she's into all of that freaking, you know, 48 hours and, you know,
right,
the murder.
True crime. Now, what about sports? Does she watch the sports with you?
Yeah, she's the one that got me into football. I wasn't really into football unless the Giants were involved, you know, when I was a kid. And I became a grown man and met my wife at, you know, 30-something years old, in my early 30s. And she took me to my first football game ever. And she took me to see a New York team play her hometown team. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and we sat in the box of the quarterbacks and shit like that. It was like,
oh, because she's dialed in.
Yeah, well, you know, her best friend was dating the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys at the time.
Or they were about
to date. But anyway, it was one of the, and it was Thanksgiving, and it was like my first time not really flying home, and you know, I was divorced from my ex-wife. God rest her soul. And so I'm not going over to their house and spending Thanksgiving with my kids. And she took me to Dallas for my first time really in Dallas to a football game. And this was very early in our relationship. And I got to hang out with, you know, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and other players. It was really cool. And she got me into football. And now I know more about football than she does.
All right, should we get in the show, Donna? Why don't you count us into some fun programming with our favorite numbers?
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donna.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the program, everybody. We are so appreciative that you listen to this. We are so appreciative of you liking just sitting around chatting with us all. We love doing it for you. And Donald is going to summarize the show as he often does, often takes him roughly 37 seconds. We never know what's going to happen.
Okay, so this one, I watched the show earlier and then I went out and did my daily stuff and came back. And now that I look at my notes, I like what I wrote. But I feel like I missed a couple of things. So there might be a little bit of ad-libbing in this to all the listeners.
Okay. Oh, so this is exciting for fans. Donald may riff. He may, what do you call it when a rapper just...
Freestyles?
You got a freestyle.
Because it's not off the top. So there is a bit of freestyle in it. Like,
you
so,
might freestyle. As you are spinning some bars, you may freestyle.
That's my dude right there, man.
Okay. Can I ask a side note question? When guys are like... Eminem, like, spitting freestyle bars. Don't you think they have it all that shit memorized? They're not really fucking...
No, but that's the difference between freestyle and off the top of the head. So off the top of the head is when it's completely... You're making it up right there at that moment. Freestyle is when you're giving people bars that you've written and put together already for free. You know what I mean? And people get to listen to... your stuff.
But that
for
video
free.
When Eminem was like in the garage and he was like, nimma, nimma, nah.
That was off the top of the head, probably.
Really? You believe that?
You're talking about when he's, which one are you talking about?
I don't watch a lot of this, but I remember like a few years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, Eminem was like in a parking garage and all his boys were sitting on a car.
Right.
And
that was
walking
around. That was the BET
Awards. And then Chris D'Elia did a big spoof of it.
That was the BET Awards. I believe that was off the top of the head. I feel like when rappers do freestyle, the verse is a little bit more... Daniel, you could correct me if you believe I'm wrong, but I feel like the verse is a little bit more polished when it's freestyle. Like, so if somebody goes on the radio and they're like, spit a couple of bars, and they're like, all right, this is freestyle. It's just like a bunch of songs that they put together or a bunch of lines that they put together just for, and it's not necessarily in a in an order, but when it's off the top of the head, they're just coming in and saying, all right, I'm not going to say anything that I've written before. This is all about right now. You know what I mean?
I wanted to offer a slightly different perspective on the same idea. As a DJ, I would very rarely plan DJ sets. Like, I would rarely plan this song goes into this song, goes into this song, goes into this song, because I've been DJing for a very long time. And with that, in my head already, I have hundreds and hundreds of 1, 2, 3 song combinations that I know are going to work well together. So
that's
over
freestyle.
A freestyle, Right, exactly. So over that set, I may be putting together a couple different pieces that I already know work together in a set that I'm not necessarily planning. So maybe the order of the songs I've played, I've never, ever played before. But it doesn't mean that a couple of those transitions I don't know very, very well. And I think it's the same thing with freestyle rap. These guys have, you know, worked with these themes and motifs and all of this stuff so much that a lot of those rhymes, a lot of those, you know, lyrical plays are pieces that they've done over and over and over, maybe not in that order, maybe not on that topic, but it's a subject, it's a method that they're very familiar with. So it's kind of, you know, I don't want to say easier, but it's like, it's part of the practice.
Right. Well said. Well said. Right. I guess I'm just cynical when people are like supposedly coming up with it, not like freestyle, just like totally fresh. And I'm like, come on, buddy. You fucking worked that out last night.
Well, there are some people that do have that talent, though. There are some people that, you know, to go into a recording booth and do your verse and do it in one take is a talent. You know what I mean? That means you've not only worked on it, but you're so connected to the beat that you're able to ride the rhythm also, you know?
But that's different. A guy goes in, doesn't he usually write it out when he goes in the recording booth?
Well, sometimes he writes it at that moment and then goes in, or as Jay-Z is one of the masters of freestyle. Lil Wayne, he was one of the masters of freestyle. But if you don't write your rhymes and you just try to think of it in your, you know, you think about Biggie, the Notorious B.I.G. is the king of this, where he would sit in the studio and just listen to the beat. And as he listened, he'd sit there and rehearse it in his head, right? And then as it went on, as it got to the point where, hour, I don't know how long it would take, he'd be like, all right, I'm ready. And then he'd go into the booth and drop what he was rehearsing. To do that, that's freestyle to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, in my mind, all right, I'm going to say this, 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 and this, and this. And at this part, I'm going to try and freak it like this. Okay, and then I said, right. And then always go back. And when you listen to it, the and the, you know what I mean, him catching the beat, all of that shit is so raw because it's not written. It's him feeling it and being in it. That's a bit of freestyle right there. You know what I mean? And that's what makes the great ones. Jay-Z is another one that does that. I heard Lil Wayne, somebody that does that. I heard he just would just go on for days, sit in front of a little microphone and a keyboard and just rap.
That's how it was songs. When I did my Passover rap that I sang for you guys a while back. And
did you sing your Passover rap?
Or was that on something else? Didn't I do my Passover rap for you guys?
I don't think so.
I don't think I've ever heard your Passover rap.
You did your Passover rap.
Yeah, but, thanks a lot, yeah. Donald.
Yeah, thanks when you lot. Were talking, you were talking. It was
Lane, Hal, and Zach took a trip to Boston.
Yeah,
something about the reasons unknown. Just remember your comb.
Yeah. Now that was fire, Donald. Thanks for remembering.
I remember that.
Dog.
What?
Can we hear it again?
Yeah. One day, four people took a trip to Boston. Elaine, Hal, and Zach, and an Audi 5000. The reason for the trip was Passover time. If we snook some bread in, it would be a crime. Just remember on this five-hour trip, McDonald's and Burger King we would skip. The reason for this deed was Passover time. If we snook some bread in, it would be a crime. Why did we go so far when we could pray at home? The reason was unknown. Just remember your comb.
That's slick, man.
Yeah,
You know what I love about that?
What?
I love that as a youth, you understood that your parents were just taking you on this long-ass journey so that you would not think about food. But on this journey, you guys passed McDonald's and Burger King and all of these spots.
This was at the time of, like, the Beastie Boys, like, Fight for Your Right to Party era, right? So that was my introduction as a Jewish kid in North Jersey. I didn't know anything about any other rap, really, other than the Beastie Boys singing, "You gotta fight for your right."
That's the only Beastie Boys you knew as a youth?
No, I knew the whole album. I'm just saying that I you can go ahead and make your jokes that was my introduction to rap, but that's what it was.
What, let me ask you one question.
What?
On that record, what was your favorite song?
I would have to look at the track list. I don't have it memorized. The one with the plane, right? The one with the plane on it? Yeah.
Did you like Paul Revere at all?
Yes, I even got some of that memorized. I think
That's one of the best.
I did it like this. I did it like that. I did it with a wiffle ball bat. So I'm on the run. The cops got my gun. And right about now, I'm trying to have some fun. The king at rock. That is my name. And I got the fly swatted about the champagne.
Okay. ZB got old school, y'all.
All right. Come on. Let's talk about this fucking TV show, Scrubs. That's why people are here. Oh, wait. All right. So do your recap. Ready?
Okay. Here we go.
And start.
Carla and Elliot are best friends thanks to Eric Estrada. Dr. Kelso orders the hospital new stethoscopes, but pays the price for trying to cut the corners. JD's dating Jordan's sister, and Cox hates this so much that he tries to sabotage it. No relationship is perfect. You have to nurture all relationships, all of them, whether they be at work or with a person. And oftentimes, just showing up isn't enough. Effort is required. And sometimes it's hard to muster up the energy to do so because life is exhausting. But if you have love, you fight for it. If you love what you do, you follow through. Your effort and attention to others' needs could be what's required to save a relationship.
Amen. Amen. Relationships are hard, Don. You got to work at it. You got to
work. But it's not just, that's the theme of this show, but it's not just, you know, with another person. Your relationship with your job is just as important. Sure. Your relationship with, you know, how you are with the outside world, I don't know how you would describe that relationship, but who you are when you step in front of the world is just as important as, you know, how you manifest and nurture your personal relationship.
The question is, in all your relationships, do you want to put in the work? Or do you want to run?
Or do you want to just see what happens? And you know, Cox and JD are a perfect example of two dudes that just wanted to get the fuck out of the hospital, and you know, because of this annoying patient, and realize at dinner that they're being a little too insensitive, and that holy cow, maybe we're not seeing the signs because we're not paying attention to our job. We're not doing the best that we're not being the best that we can be. Mm-hmm. And we're not listening to what this young lady is saying to us. Mm-hmm. And so at the end, when they rush back to the hospital, when they realize what the problem is, you know, that was a big moment for me. Cause this episode isn't necessarily my favorite episode. It's not necessarily the funniest episode.
Didn't you find it odd though? It didn't cross their minds that she fucking ate pesticide. Like, yeah. It didn't cross their mind that like she might be suicidal. I thought that was a little weird.
That was very
we've done all these tests and we even sent some people to your house and we just can't figure out why there might be pesticide in your system. I don't know. I just thought that was a little weird.
It's, you know, hey.
But what do I know? I'm not a genius, Bill Lawrence, whose show Ted Lasso just got picked up for two more seasons.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Do you know how big that show is internationally and domestically? They picked it up for, they haven't even started season two and they picked up two and three. So go, Bill.
Damn. That's so crazy because speaking of which.
No.
Interrupting Bill.
Interrupting. Just when I gave a compliment.
Interrupting Bill, always interrupt. All right, I'm
he's
trying
cocky.
A new song out.
You thought he was cocky before. Wait for this.
I've missed you guys. You're doing a great job on my podcast. I appreciate it.
What a dick.
So here is the question for today, and don't cheat. My 15 seconds. Every time you guys enter Jill Tracy's room, doctors only spend 15 seconds with a patient on average. And a clock comes up. Question one, do you think that's a real thing or that we made it up for the show?
I think it must be a real thing. It's too weird to not, it's too random and weird to have been made up. It does feel short as someone who's unfortunately spent a bunch of time in hospitals in the last few years. But I feel like he wouldn't pull that out of his butt. Donald,
I think they made it up.
Okay.
All right. Let's find out.
Wrong or right. It's not really a real thing. And we did make it up for the show because I find that if you put a small dramatic thing like that in there that people believe, it actually kind of helps your storytelling. But the even more crafty cheating aspect to this every time you went in there and the 15-second clock showed up, do you think it was actually 15 seconds?
No, it wasn't. I know that. I know that from Scrubs Wiki. I'm sorry, that's a bit of a cheat, but the Scrubs Wiki, of course, points out how those segments are by no means 15 seconds.
Let's find out.
Correct. It was not. I think one of them might even be 27 or 30 seconds, but we just slowed down the countdown so we could do whatever we want. And that's how you cheat in television.
There you go.
Thank you, Interrupting Bill, for that.
I like that. That was a very fun Interrupting Bill for me.
It was. You know why? You know, I thought because he's the top showrunner in town this week that he might come on extra cocky. But no, he held it together. He held his ego in check.
I'm going to dinner with him
and Krista tonight. So if there's anything you want me to discuss with them,
you know, tell them I'm getting in shape. I got a job that's going to, you know, make me get in shape for a little bit.
What are you hiding from the audience? What job is this? Do you not want to talk about it?
No, we could talk about it. I, you know, this might get cut, but
well, you can beep. We can beep it or something.
Mm-hmm. I signed on to do like.
And so, Oh, Joelle's gonna lose her fucking mind.
What? That's amazing! What? Congratulations!
Congratulations!
What a cool booking! Congrats!
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens with that. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but you guys can know about it.
We could beep it. We can beep the title, but
yeah, we'll beep that.
So, is that pushing your training into full gear? Are we Pelotoning the shit out of us ourselves now?
Yeah, there's some nudeness, perhaps.
Oh, and, are we going to see your eel?
You're not going to see my eel. No, there's no way that Casey will allow that. Casey's like, I don't want anybody seeing your butt or your eel. I don't want to see booty or frontal.
Now, I have a question. Does Casey weigh in?
Casey's like, you can show chest. You can show belly button.
Are you not allowed to do a sex scene? Casey would
apparently I have to simulate sex in the show.
So how can Casey limit your ability as a handsome male actor to do a sex scene? I don't believe in that.
Because the showrunner made the mistake of saying you don't have to do the nudity part isn't necessarily important.
I think we should see your ass. You have a nice bubble, and I think the earth needs to see it bounce.
The earth?
Yeah. Bounce.
The whole earth?
Well, anyone who watches the show should see that shit bounce. Right, Joelle?
Yes. If you're comfortable with it, I don't know.
Casey's not comfortable with it. Casey's like, ain't nobody seeing your ass bounce.
I wish she would. She's got to loosen up about that.
Probably will loosen up about it by the time we get to it. Yeah. As of right now, she's like, do you really want people to see how you fuck? Is that what you really try?
Yeah, you do. You want to show how good you are. Will your eel be getting its own credit, or do you share a credit? All right, let's talk about the show.
We share a title sequence. It's a shared card.
Speaking of names for cocks, that's how the show opens up. JD's name is his penis's name is Little Buddy. He doesn't like that. He wishes it was named Big Al. And this moment when I'm dancing naked in front of Tara Reid is what I told you in the last episode when my sock fell off and she was able to see my giblets in their entirety.
That's unfortunate.
And it might have been nice for her, but I remember thinking like, oh no, Tara, there's a lot of air conditioning and I have more to offer the world than what you're seeing.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about willies.
Sorry, Deb. Sorry, Deb. Just one more second, Deb.
We're getting into willy talk. But do you have a name for your stuff?
My junk? No, I don't. I don't. I don't. Do you?
Well, you've named my junk.
Eel.
The eel. Black whale.
I never called it black whale. How have you, when you...
Yeah, you did.
You had to do this, too, for Scrubs, when that episode where you're walking in through the parking lot. So you just take a tube sock, and you just kind of tuck everything in. And that's what fell off when I started doing that wacky dance.
You didn't try to put, like, a rubber band at the base.
Well, I didn't want to cut off circulation and lose a nut.
You're not going to cut off circulation, dude.
They were like, the scene is, that's a cut on the scene, Zach. Your scrotum is blue.
they make these things in for sex.
Oh, well, I didn't.
So you're not going to cut yourself off.
I didn't have anything professional like that. Color me mine. Go ahead.
Sorry, you were very, very, very secure in the fact that a sock would be able to keep little buddy covered.
Well, I learned the hard way, no pun intended, Donald, that that it did not work. So Tara Reid, you're welcome. You're welcome. So Color Me Mine, the very, very adorable African-American man next to me is Pookie, who was one of our main lighting electricians on the show for almost the whole run of the show.
He was Pookie in the beginning, and then he was like, I don't want to be called Pookie no more. My name's Chris.
I never got a change. Maybe that was you being tough guys like alpha males. He was always Pookie to me.
Nobody. He changed his name to everybody halfway through because he was sick and tired of being called Pookie.
Well, I never heard that. I never got the memo. If I saw him today, I'd give him a, well, I wouldn't be able to give him a big hug, but I'd yell Pookie.
Remember when Pookie lost all that weight too?
Yeah. By the way, yeah. Pookie may have been in the rerun dance sequence.
Absolutely, he was. Yeah. Absolutely, he was.
Great guy. Really, really great guy.
Yeah. One of our favorites.
Some of the crew members did the whole 9 years with us, and I think Pookie came and went a little bit, but he was with us almost the whole time.
Yes, he was.
Electrician doing setting and focusing the lights.
He made a lot of cameos on the show. This is the beginning of seeing him. Yeah, this is the beginning of seeing him. But you'll find him a lot more as
there's a gag reel moment in one of the seasons where I'm running lines with him. He was playing. Do you remember that? He was playing.
No, yeah. We actually filmed it, and it wasn't. You guys weren't running lines. Somebody was supposed to be in the scene. They were like, "All right, Pookie."
It wasn't you though. I think it was a woman. Was it Elliot or something?
Yeah. And they were like, "Pookie, you get up in there and do it." And he gets in there, and we all thought he was gonna freaking be like, "I can't do it, guys."
Yeah,
and
he played the shit out of it.
He went hardcore with it too.
The funny thing is, he still had like all his gear on. He had like his walkie-talkie earpiece and all that shit, but he just played it so straight, like he was Elliot or something. Yeah, it was so fun. Yeah,
it was really good, man. It was really awesome, man.
All right, listen. I don't know if it's us, Tara and I, or I'm feeling it's probably stunt people that fall out of that tree. But you can totally see the mat that's hidden under like a really lame piece of AstroTurf.
I love the fact that JD's ideal date with a girl to kiss for the first time was in a tree.
Yeah, he's such
a
nerd.
Just like the song. Just like the song.
KISSING.
That's right.
Classic. Yeah, JD is such a fucking dork. It's amazing he got these great women because he is so nerdy.
I think it's so endearing. I think it's so endearing that this is how JD is.
Right.
I think. You don't think his sensitive?
No, I do. I think he's nerdy and charming, and people and women and men, depending on what you're into, love to laugh. And so I'm guessing he gets chicks. I mean, obviously he's a doctor, which is impressive, but also because he's silly and goofy and makes them laugh.
Wow. He reminds me of Hugh Grant in, what's that?
In every Hugh Grant movie?
Right, pretty much. But him and Julia Roberts.
Notting Hill?
Notting Hill. And how Hugh Grant's kind of like, oopsie daisy. Like, JD says things like that. And that's, I don't know, that's endearing. I totally get why JD has such a great, is a ladies' man.
How about that door hit I do at 3:28? That was pretty damn nice. If I give myself a comedic stunt pat on the back, it's a nice door hit. And I don't think I'd done a glass door hit since the pilot. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's the first time I've run into that, what's supposed to be the very same door. Although in the pilot, we all know we were in a different hospital.
Yeah, and the fact that these two are so comfortable, you know, in the fact that JD's so comfortable in Cox's house fooling around with this young lady is a little, that was just caught me kind of off guard. When he walked in and he was like, and he's yelling at the two of you for, you know, cuddling and being all cutesy in the morning and stuff.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard. Like the fact that JD feels that comfortable now that he's willing to bang in Dr. Cox's house is
It's pretty funny though when he catches me naked and I hold up the picture of his baby in front of my groin.
And he's like, "Right, well that."
And then I turn it around and it's him.
His face. Yeah.
And by the way, it's the season one promotional picture.
Yeah.
Like, well, way to go, props department. Like, let's just grab a fucking Scrubs promo pic of him and put it in the frame. That was funny.
Yeah.
A Waffle Time song. He's like, "Do not sing the when I come in the kitchen." I'm like, "Waffle time, it's waffle time. Won't you have some waffles up mine?" I don't know if that's the melody.
I was going to ask you because at the
end
of it,
"Won't you have some waffles of mine?" I forgot what the melody was, but
at the end of it, you sing along with him. So was this something that you two made up at that moment?
No, he's like, you're talking about how comfortable he is. JD's walking into his kitchen and be like, "Morning, waffle time, won't you have some waffles of mine?"
But as actors, was this something that Bill was like, "This is how the song goes," or was it something that John C made up, or was it something that, you know what I mean? Because
I probably made it up. I don't know if John C's the stupid, silly jingle maker upper like I am, because I could have a whole career as a jingle writer, Donald.
Word?
Oh,
why
yeah.
aren't you doing that? There's so much money in it.
Not really.
No, there's not.
There's no money. Yeah, there is. In that Dudley Moore movie, funny. What was the Dudley Moore movie? Yeah,
what year was that, dude?
Yeah, they were freaking killing it.
But you know who wrote dun 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 dun
Round Ball Rock?
John Tesh. John Tesh.
John Tesh.
Dude, John Tesh.
John Tesh wrote more jingles than you fucking can believe.
Have you ever seen John Tesh at Red Rock?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's him playing. Oh, dude. It's
at the venue? Yeah, wait. That's where he did the Round Ball Rock thing.
Yeah.
Red Rocks is the venue in Colorado.
Oh, Red Rocks, I've heard of. Yeah, beautiful outdoor venue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Donald, I thought you'd be impressed that I know. That's fucking John Tesh's greatest hit.
You guys have seen the video where he describes coming up with that, right?
No, but do you think that was just a buyout, or did he make $9 zillion off of it? What?
I don't know.
Maybe. Could be.
Wait, what, Dan? What was unique about him coming up with it?
Oh, it's just so funny because he sends himself a voicemail where he's like, "Hey, listen, just remember this one for later." All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye. And it's just like a voicemail he plays at Red Rocks for everybody. I'm gonna find the video. I'll send it to you.
Oh, that's funny. No, but there's a lot of, if you're interested in this topic, for those of you who are a little bit confused, John Tesh was the host of Entertainment Tonight for basically most of our childhood and lives.
Him and Mary Hart.
Yeah, and this is back when there weren't all these other streaming things, so it was like what was on, and you watched Entertainment Tonight, and he was an entertainment journalist. And he had this side hustle, which was probably way more lucrative than being an entertainment anchor, where he would write jingles. And if you look up, if you Google it, he wrote a lot of fucking music and a lot of jingles, you know.
No, he's a concert pianist, dude.
Okay. Well, I'm saying he also, in addition to that song, what is that, the NBA fucking mm-hmm. jingle,
uh-huh.
he wrote a lot NBA of other ones.
It's actually only the NBA on NBC. That's what he wrote.
All right. Well, I wouldn't have known that.
Well, it's not the NBA song anymore. You don't hear that song anymore.
You know what else he wrote? You know what else he wrote? "What you trying to get into a day show?"
No, he did not. No, he did not. No, he did not. Do not give that man credit for writing that.
But I'll tell you what, I could pull up on my phone in a similar way. When Donald and I were about to do the podcast, I said, "We got to have a dope theme song." And I played to Donald like something like this. And then Donald sent something back to me like riffing on it. "Someday I'll have to play you." And that's what we sent to Charlie, who then went and made it dope.
Well, it was a genius idea. You were like, "It should be like the Jeffersons." And I was like, "Oh, shit." But we turned it into like, and I know we're just reminiscing. We turned it into a freaking fire
it's
bop.
It's a bop.
It's a bop.
It's a bop. All right, we have a fan, and we're going to go to break. We will be right back after these words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
We're back with the Amanda Kababi. Give it to her, Donald. Give her the Oprah.
Amanda Kababi.
Holy shit.
Yes.
It's like, true. Holy shit.
It's true, Amanda. It's real. It happened.
Hi. I'm not gonna lie. I started drinking wine because I was nervous, and I was like, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, so we'll figure it out, I guess.
I'm drinking wine, too. It's okay.
Oh, really? I thought we had a new let's not drink during the podcast rule, Donald. Okay. Well,
I broke that rule.
Oh, I see. Broke that okay, rule. Good to know. Amanda, you're welcome to drink. Welcome to the program. How are you? Where are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I am in my apartment in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Represent.
Hoboken. Yes. Broboken in the house.
I am Jersey through and through in one of those ways where I'm like suburban Jersey, not Jersey Shore Jersey. I'm sure Zach
yes, like know. Me. Yes, yes. We people like us don't like that Jersey Shore stereotype because that's not us.
Are you a Saku sushi eater?
Oh my God. He's just gonna drop the few Jersey things he knows. He knows like a Jersey City.
In Hoboken.
Sushi place.
When you get the app, well, it's the best sushi you can find.
Is it Hoboken or Jersey City?
It's in Hoboken. When you get the opportunity, Saku, when you get a chance. Saku Hoboken. Right. Saku Hoboken. Remember I said this to you. Saku,
you know why they call it Hoboken. Broboken, Amanda?
Because of all the bros.
Frat boys. There's a lot of frat boys. Is it still that way? When I was around, it was like, oh, I'm not going to Broboken.
Very much so. So I also went to Rutgers University, and I feel like it was very much. Did you go to Rutgers too?
No, I just have a lot of friends who went to Rutgers.
Yeah. Love it. Well, it felt like we like graduated Rutgers, and some people weren't ready, and they moved into downtown Hoboken.
Yeah, I remember the percentage of baseball hats backwards was very high.
Also, Hoboken floods like a beast, doesn't it?
It absolutely. I moved to the top of the hill. I pay a fucking astronomical amount in rent, but I don't flood, luckily.
Right on.
Did you vote, Amanda? You know, today, just this is, wait, before you answer, this is, oh, good, you're wearing a voting t-shirt.
Schoolhouse Rock one.
Just to remind you, Amanda, this is airing on Election Day, Tuesday, so we're encouraging everyone who hasn't to vote, but you're wearing a voting t-shirt, so you did vote.
I'm going to drop it off this weekend. I have it here. I'm going to drop it off.
Thunderous applause, Dan. Thunderous applause.
Turned. Key is turned.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Good. Jersey, not usually a swing state, but I think we usually go blue. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. It's today.
Yeah.
What do you do, Amanda, to pay for your fancy apartment?
Well, I am a video producer. I work in development, so like video development, TV development at Hearst Magazines. So we have like Cosmo, Esquire, Men's Health. I know you guys are always talking about Men's Health.
Yeah, Donald and I want to get on the cover if we get our abs enough. If you could put in a recommendation for us.
I will hook it up. I will do what I can.
My life goal is to one day, before they shovel me in a hearse, to have my abs so impressive that they're like, he's got to be on the cover of Men's Health. Come on, guys.
Oh, dude. Right. That I want to be in that. And you know what I want to do? Also, that one and People's Most Beautiful. Like, I've been dying for that one. I know I'm getting a little long in the tooth and everything like that. But
oh, you mean Sexiest Man Alive? That's not going to happen for you, dude. Oh. No, you can be in Most Beautiful, but you're not. You're too old to be the Sexiest Man Alive.
You never know. You never know.
I think you're the Sexiest Man Alive. Don't give me that face. But it's usually someone younger, like a, you know, it's younger, younger oh, no. kind of thing. No? Okay. I take it back. I'm sorry. Can you? Yeah, he's lost the ability to speak, which is so hard for him. I really fucked him up. I'm sorry.
He does look
sorry.
Like he's in pain. It's fine. I'm you're sorry.
By the way, speaking
do you have a question, Amanda?
Yeah. By the way, I digress for a moment. When we last week talked about virtual having sex via VR with each other, everyone and their cousin weighed in that there is, of course, a Black Mirror episode about this. Yeah. So thank you for reminding us. If you don't watch Black Mirror, watch Black Mirror. But there's a very, very fascinating / bizarrely hilarious, interesting commentary on sexuality episode of Black Mirror, including VR sex between two hetero friends. So there you go. Amanda, do you have a question for us to cheer Donald up, the sexiest man alive in my eyes?
You can't.
I am
not the sexiest man alive, according to Zach Brown. My best friend said to me, "Oh no, you're never gonna get that." Those were his exact words. I'm just gonna put it out there. Oh no, you're never gonna get that. My heart is.
Oh man, I feel bad.
I don't.
It's just usually like a Timothy Chalamet.
Shut the fuck up. When I look at you hurt me so bad.
Shall I bring you together with a question?
Yes, please. Yes. Change the subject, Amanda. This is horrible.
All right. Well, I hope this brings up good memories, not bad memories. But one of my questions was, so what is the worst trouble the two of you have gotten into together, whether it was on set of Scrubs or not on set of Scrubs?
How are you going to ask me this question? I can't answer this question. We got into a lot of trouble we've gotten into we can't even talk about. There were times where...
Speak carefully.
I'm trying my hardest to right now. There were times where I was like, I can't believe that shit happened.
We got into a lot of wacky positions.
I can't believe we put ourselves into that situation and that shit happened.
Yeah. You don't want to give a lot of money and a lot of fame to two guys in their mid-20s.
No.
And expect that they're not going
to
get
You don't want to do it to anyone in their mid-20s. Not two guys. To anyone in their mid-20s. Too much money at a young age is not a good thing.
We had some adventures. And that's all we'll say. As Donald pours another glass of wine for himself at fucking 2 in the afternoon. Amanda, we'll give you another question because that one we can't really fully answer.
Okay, fine. That's fair. So I was actually going to ask, so Zach, I'm like obsessed with Garden State to
Thank
a point
you.
Where like high school me would probably literally pass away if she knew this was happening right now.
Oh my God.
And so I also was like, I'm nerdy where I listen to the commentary. And I'm pretty sure I remember you saying something about a bunch of PAs. You had to have them drive really slow on the 405 to create traffic.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So I work in production also, and I'm constantly asking our PAs to do crazy shit. And I've had to do crazy shit. So I'm wondering, what's the craziest thing you guys have had to do early on in your career?
Good
questions.
Those are good questions. Yeah, PAing, I had to do a lot. There's a lot of stuff as a PA that was just stupid and dangerous. They would have us go lock up. When you're a production assistant, they say, go lock up that street, meaning don't let anyone come down it. And it would be like in a really dangerous neighborhood at night. And I'd be like the little nerdy kid, like being like, excuse me. everyone, you're not allowed to come down the street. And people be like, fuck you. And I'd be like, guys, we're making a video. And like, and there were a few times, there are many times in Manhattan and at night where I really almost got my ass kicked begging people to not walk down a street because we were making some like Mariah Carey video or something.
You were probably a really good fucking PA then.
I was a good PA because the rest of the PAs were getting high in the fucking cube truck and like not doing, and they, I was so into it. I wanted to be a director so badly. I wanted to be a filmmaker so badly. So they come over the walkie and they'd be like, we need PAs doing this. And like, no one would reply. So I'd be like, I'm on it. And I'd run over there and do it. And then they'd be like, okay, now we need a PA to be doing this. And I'd be like, no answer. Cause they're all just fucking getting high. And I'd be like, I'll do that too. And like, so I was just running all over the place. I was like, I wanted to be like the best PA in the history of PAs.
Oh my God.
What about you, Donald? Did you have any odd, crazy jobs someone made you do? No. Cause you kind of got it. You were working early. You never had a real job.
No, I did have a real job. Actually. It's an interesting story. So after I had a little bit of success early on in my career, like I did a bunch of commercials and stuff like that. And because of that, I, you know, as a young actor in New York City, I would always go to my agent's office and hang out. And so I got to know my agents and made my face very recognizable so that if anything came through, they would be like, yo, we're going to send Donald out on this. I made myself so available there that they needed somebody to work at the front desk. And I was like, yo, you know what? I'll take the job. I'll take the job. I'll do that. And they were like, okay, bet. And so I learned what it was like to be an agent. I looked at breakdowns. The agents would, you know, write down the actors and or artists who they wanted to go out for these parts. And I would, you know, have to type it all up and write the letter and send it out to all of the casting directors for the submissions, right? And I didn't get good at it, but this was a great way for me to submit myself on things that I really wanted to be in. Like, if it came through and my name wasn't on it, I would secretly type my name into that shit and be like, Donald Faison. And I'd put my headshot in and send it out for submissions. I then get Clueless, and I got to go out of town for a really long time. But I want to keep the job because, you know, as an actor, you're like, I'm making money and I'm getting a paycheck, so I'm able to buy the shit I want. And I ask my mom and I'm like, Mom, will you take over for me? Will you work the desk for me? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. No problem. And so while I'm away doing Clueless, she works this job for me. And when I come back, I'm like, okay, Mom, I want my job back. And the agents at my agency were like, no, you know what, Donald? That's no longer your job. We want to give it to your mom. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, we're gonna give it to your mom. And your mom is going to work as the front desk. So my mom was already working in theater, and she was like a director at the National Black Theater in Harlem. And she'd worked with a bunch of actors in the community and everything like that. And so she had her finger on the pulse when it came to young African-American or old African-American actors in New York City. And as time went on working at the front desk, she then moved on to become, you know, an agent and, you know,
a very successful agent.
Well, she tapped into the community that she, you know, knew very well and now has so many people working on Broadway. Oh, she's broke. So Laz Lonzo, she broke him. Like, you know.
To this day, when I run into, there's so many times I run into African-American actors in New York and their way into me is like, yo, Shirley Faison's my agent. Like, they know that that's the way to start talking to me because of Donald.
It gets bigger than that though. And then it turns into my mom is now, you know, working with all of these, like they're Lea Michele, Kristen Bell, like
So she blew up. The funny thing, your mom took your desk job and then it's like Working Girl. She all of a sudden became like a super powerful agent.
Within a few years, this happened.
Yeah.
And it was all because of this odd job that I wanted. Like this wasn't I don't know that many actors that work at their agent's office. No, that just doesn't
funny.
Sound right.
I never
right.
knew yeah. that trivia about you. See, yeah. Even I am learning Donald Faison trivia on this very podcast.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey, listeners, how is your social battery right now?
It can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Everyone has a different capacity for socializing and different ways of recharging. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends. Man, right. Fuck you, man. I'm not sexy enough for you. So fuck you, man. You ain't know no trivia about me. You don't care about me. You don't even think I'm sexy.
You know, you may have had a shot at that if your wife would allow you to have your ass bopping up and down on that fucking show. Women and gay men really like to see a man's ass bounce in a sex scene on TV. Right, Joelle? Amanda, do you want to weigh in?
Yes. Okay. Honestly, sex scenes... I don't know what is wrong with me. They make me so uncomfortable.
I know. I agree.
Because you know how the sausage is made. You've seen how they shoot those things.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you remember?
It makes
back
you
in
uncomfortable.
The no,
it
listen,
makes you uncomfortable, you... Zach. But you are thrusting. You're throwing me into the fucking fire.
No, I want to say something.
I want to see your ass. I want to see your ass.
If
just
I
so
had,
you could feel uncomfortable.
If I had your ass, I would write sex scenes into my own movies and just bounce my shit. No, but listen, do you guys remember when we were growing up? And, yeah, and then for some reason, the character's ass is bouncing. When we were growing up, every fucking movie, it was like, and now it's time for the sex scene. It was like incorporated into the movie.
Well, you Zach, know, I was 11 watching Garden State with that.
No sex scene. We cut around it. We cut
the
around
people,
it.
The peephole scene.
Oh, no, that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That.
I remember being like.
But that was meant to be outrageous. But like the Natalie scene, we weren't about to do like a fucking sex scene. We start making out and then you cut to us cuddling. But do you remember like it was like you couldn't have a movie back in the day where it was like the music would start and they'd be shooting through like the foggy of lens and you'd like, oh my God, it's time. And people liked it. It was like a turn on. I guess it was like, oh, this world. Maybe it was like people are on a date and this is going to get them riled up to go home and hook up. But now, now in movies, I think it's pretty odd, right? To see like a real sex scene. Unless there's a genuine reason for it. When it cuts, like, you just want to like, okay, they start making out and then cut to later. We don't need to see them fucking fuck unless, of course, they have Donald's ass. What do you guys think on this topic?
Yeah, I find sex scenes uncomfortable now in movie theaters, mainly because Movies that were acceptable to us when we were younger, I can't show my kids now. And so movies that come on and all of a sudden something that's very sexual, and I like the fact that my kids have no idea what sexuality is, I love that fact about them right now, and they don't need to learn about that. And I don't want to taint that. I don't want them to have to see that until they're ready. And I don't think a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Right. I'm just talking about like that change in this. I'm not talking about like that. Joelle, what are your thoughts on this? You're a pop culture expert.
Yeah, I think sex scenes are good if they are improving the story, if they're telling story. I don't like when it's like, and now like two hot people smashing bodies. It's weird. But like Normal People, the series on Hulu, like those sex scenes like show how the characters evolve through time and over their relationship, and they're like essential to the storytelling. And so I feel like, and also like what you're going to ask me, you guys are actual actors, but I always feel like it's weird to ask actors to perform them if it's not pertinent to the story. I'm like, who is this for? What's happening?
Yeah. I disagree with you guys. I think sex scenes make me uncomfortable, but I think everybody loved Game of Thrones, and that had some ridiculous, you know, sex scenes in it that had nothing to do with pushing the story forward, you know? And so
in the beginning they did, then they started becoming like weird.
Well,
I thought,
well, and also to that point, Emilia Clarke decided she was not doing any more nude scenes after the reactions to all that stuff. So I think, you know, there was a bit of a gratuitous nature to it that kind of soured what maybe the story.
Even George R.R. Martin was upset with the way some of them went down. He's like, this is not how they were written in the book or why they were there.
Right. Well, she did, but that didn't stop them from having them in the show.
No, it did not.
It was very prominent in the show, and we all watched and loved that show. So we can't really say.
I'm not saying that nudity is bad, Donald. I'm just saying.
Well, until the last episode.
I'm just saying I'm just saying in the 80s and 90s, in a lot of R-rated movies, it was like, I felt like people thought it was mandatory. You went to an R-rated movie, you went on your date. Where's our sex scene? You know,
I don't know, man. Some of my favorite movies didn't have sex scenes in them, like The Breakfast Club or.
Well, you're picking it. I'm talking about like.
We could
I'm
go
talking...
through all the John Hughes movies. These are big ass movies for that time, though. You know what I mean?
You're picking the wrong genre. I'm talking about R-rated sort of thriller.
At the time those movies were out, though, we weren't
like,
old
you're
enough
like,
to
not
see
not every movie
movies.
Has a sex scene, like Annie, for example. No sex scenes in Annie. Miss Hannigan
you
never rides
said,
the dick.
You just
they cut it.
That would have been the best musical number ever. That would have been the best musical number ever.
It's a hard knock life for us.
No. What's the
sorry.
One? What's the
sorry,
one?
Sorry, Amanda. Amanda, I'm sorry you had to see that. All right, Amanda, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Donald, stop laughing, but I think I've won you back. Ready? It's time to
fix your life.
All right, how can we help our favorite Jersey girl?
All right, well, so this is not just fixing my life. It's going to fix basically all of my friends' lives also.
On it, ready.
So I just turned 27, it's quarantine, I'm like newly single, all these different things. I think I'm in the throes of a quarter life crisis.
Yes.
How does one get through a quarter life crisis?
Oof. You got to go through
you
it,
gotta
but
go,
there is
right.
work you can do. There are books and podcasts and seminars, and one can take action. That's what I think. I think when I was going through a lot of that stuff, I did a lot of work on myself. Some of it was as simple as a therapist, just to get myself talking. But I would ask for self-help book recommendations. I took workshops. There's TED Talks. I mean, you can't just sit back and like my attitude about life when you're in crisis mode, even if it's mild or real crisis, like in this episode, there's a suicidal story, is that you have to be proactive. You can't just sit and wait for it to fix itself. You have to take steps to do the work.
I mean, I have fired so many therapists just because I always pick fights with them because that's the kind of person that I am. But my brother just told me to read this book, The Art of Not Giving a Fuck or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't
the
know.
Subtle
if
art of not giving a fuck. Yeah.
I don't know. You guys have any books that you recommend? I don't know.
I'm not a strong reader, so you know.
Donald only reads the back of the Star Wars video game box.
And then also and Star Wars comics.
Are also in terms of dating, which always cheers people up, are you actively trying? Are you on the apps? Are you trying to meet somebody new?
Yeah, I'm on the apps. The apps just like, I don't know if it's just my area or what, produce like a certain quality.
You got a lot of bros there. You maybe have to go to Manhattan.
You know, and I changed my location to Manhattan. And I don't know if it's like I'm not playing the app game right or what, but I either don't get any action on the apps, or the action I get is like, and literally forgive me, but like the first messages sit on my face. And I'm like, you are not somebody I want to date.
Okay. That's funny that that's someone's pickup line. Sit on my face.
I've gotten that 3 times in quarantine.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
Wow. These apps, man. Joelle, don't worry. We're going to find you a good one, not whatever one she's on.
Okay, good. I look forward to it.
We're trying to set Joelle up. No one's going to say sit on my face to you, Joelle. We're going to protect you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, at least not on the first freaking DM.
That's very weird.
It's just so like, hi first, then ask.
Right. At least be like, hi, my name is Roger. Sit on my face. At least that, right?
Do you mind if I give Amanda some advice on this quarter life crisis situation?
Yes, please. Yes. You're way smarter on this than anybody.
You're probably, you're the one to go to for this.
I recently having come out of my quarter life crisis. I was at, you said you're 25?
27.
Okay. So you're getting toward the end of the craziness, right? And the best advice I got at that age was like, 28 and 29 are going to be so hard, but all the work that you're doing, all the stuff you're pushing through, all the things you're discovering about yourself, all the people you're dating and rejecting or trying to accept, all the friendships that will either fall apart or strengthen during this time, like all of that will solidify by 30. And then it's like, I've learned all of the lessons, right? The very challenging part of your late 20s is over. And like, by the time you hit 30, it's like, oh, I get why I had to go through all of that. So it sucks when you're in it, but like, don't panic. It's how it's supposed to be. It's the struggle is fortifying you for all of the great things that are about to happen, right? And you're like very solid in your career. It sounds like you've developed a strong voice. You clearly seem to know yourself pretty well. So, you know, give yourself some time, maybe find a therapist that knows how to fight you back. My therapist constantly looks at me and goes, is that real? What you're telling me? I go, oh, maybe not. And she's like, right. So, you know, let's steer also, this direction.
Also, what I remember writing when I about Garden State was that I felt like my teen years were my body's puberty and my 20 years were my mind's puberty.
Yes.
Because there's so much happening. You're figuring out who you are, who you want to be, what kind of relationship you truly want, what kind of job you want, where you want to live. Like all of this is happening and it's changing all the time. Just like when you're going through puberty changes and you're like, what the fuck is this new feeling? That's happening in your mind. So a big thing I would say to you is don't make it wrong. Like this is normal. I think people start having panic attacks when they go, what's wrong with me? It's like I made a fucking movie about it. Like this is very, very, very normal, everything that's happening to you. And so many people are going through what you're going through.
Not to sound like the downer of it, but I think everybody's in crisis always. You know what I mean? I think life is so exhausting as it is that we're always, like when this is over, you're going to find something else to fixate on and focus on. And that'll be your next dilemma. But for the most part, you have to go through it and know that this is a journey and know that you're doing this. Everything that you're doing now is setting up what comes later. And I think, I don't recall my 20s being a crisis, and maybe because I numbed it by going out and partying and experiencing, you know, being in a pandemic doesn't necessarily help where we're at, you know what I mean?
That's extra hard too. You're going through these feelings and the dating conundrum during this pandemic, which is just so extra hard. And I really, really feel for you.
I don't understand people who date on the apps in the middle of COVID. I'm like, you're gonna get it. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like Russian roulette.
I know, especially if you're sitting on people's faces. All right, I don't know if we fixed your life, but we at least are here to cheer you on and say we care about you and you're not alone. And I'm a big proponent of therapy. We promote a couple of the different apps on here that I have, not just bullshit because we promote them. I have friends that use them and really have gotten great results from them. Good thing about them is if you don't like the person on the first try, you can just keep changing until you find somebody you like. And I think people have gotten good results of that. I know a lot about therapy because I have two parents that are psychologists. So I've gotten a lot of success out of a type of therapy called someone who's a cognitive behaviorist, because I've done enough talking about my past. I've done enough like, oh, I was sad when they made fun of me. And at this point, a cognitive behaviorist is a little more like, let's talk about the plan. It's a little more like a coach being like, here's the plan for this week. You don't want the X to happen, then we're going to do Y. You want to be more like this, then we're going to do this. So if that type of therapist has been very helpful to me in my life, you might seek someone like that out.
A life coach.
Yeah. And cause some people like to lie on a couch and talk about the pain they've experienced, and that works and is helpful. And some people need to do that. I'm not minimizing it. I've done plenty of it. I'm just saying at this point in my life, and again, I'm much older than you, but I've gotten a lot of help out of someone who's like, okay, I hear what you're feeling. I hear where you want to get to. I hear that you're stressed about this or this. Here's the plan for this week that's going to be put in place by us as a team to make you get there. And that could be finding a partner. That could be finding a job. That could be whatever you fucking want it to be.
I would also just like to add one thing to what Zach is saying, is that like when you're doing your Googles for this kind of thing, make sure that you search both words like life coach, but also specifically cognitive behavioral therapy, because they're different things that have similar goals. And you just might get people who are life coaches who are going to help you work through stuff. But I really back up what Zach is saying, when you can have someone who's professional with experience give you like A, B, C. And that's really going to come from a cognitive behavioral therapist.
And I always feel, because I know I'm going to talk to him once a week, that it's like I have to have my homework done. Like I want to impress him. So I'm always like, oh, I'm going to do that shit I promised him I would do because I made a commitment. Anyway, I'm rambling. I think we can say you're welcome, right, Donald? Can we say you're welcome?
I mean.
Maybe half. You're welcome.
No, we could say you're welcome. We've set her on a path. We've given her some tools that she can use to better herself and take this journey that she's on into a positive direction and not fall into the abyss that is depression.
The most powerful thing you need to know is that you are not alone. You are not alone. Everybody deals with this shit. I think some people spiral out because they go, what's wrong with me? No, what's wrong with you is that you're a human being and everybody deals with this. And all these people you see on TV and the reality shows living these fucking bullshit lives, it's all bullshit. They deal with it too. And you are not alone. Everybody goes through it. Okay?
That's right. No one's truly happy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, some people are happy, but everybody has their demons they battle. Everybody has their sources of pain. And I think it's very important for you to know that you're not alone. All right, Amanda, my favorite Jersey girl.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Amanda.
Have a good one.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech. Tecovas are one of my favorite boot brands. They're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage boot making. So they've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots. But they've made some innovations in comfort, style, and service.
These boots are Austin designed, Texas tested, and handmade down in the boot making capital of the world, Leon, Mexico.
Whenever I slip on my Tecovas boots, I feel the cowboy magic, Donald. They're tough enough for getting dirty, but classic and stylish enough for a night out on the town.
If you ever wonder if you can pull off cowboy boots, you should pull on a pair of Tecovas. You'll see. They'll become your new favorite footwear. Cowboys knew what they were doing when they invented Western wear. If you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com and point your toes west.
As a special opportunity for our listeners, Tecovas has said they will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps for free into any minimum purchase of $100 on Tecovas.com. Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS. It's about a $30 value, and they sell fast, so there are always new styles and looks. Again, for a limited time, just enter code REALFRIENDS at checkout to add a free logo hat to your order as a one-time gift from Tecovas, only at Tecovas.com.
We got to talk more about the show, dude. People get mad that we don't talk about the show enough. We got to talk more about the show.
Are you telling me people have grievances with the show?
Oh, fucking people have
grievance, grievance, grievance. This is a new segment that I call grievance.
Oh, Jesus.
You guys have had Brendan Fraser, Tara Reid, Heather Locklear, Shea Serrano. You have so many interesting guests on the show. And you know what you haven't had is one writer of the show. Not one. They listen to it. They know. And so here's the tough grievance moment for you guys is what follows is three single sentences from three different writers that were on this show for a multiple of years. There will probably be a clue in their sentence, but unless you can identify these three writers by the sentence clue, I'm afraid I'm going to have to pull the plug. On our podcast.
On our podcast.
Get ready. Get your thinking caps off.
So are you guys ready?
Wait. I have a question, Daniel.
Yes,
These are sentences that Bill's going to say that we should know who the... The writers themselves.
The writers themselves have submitted three sentences. Of course you're going to know. All three sentences are going to play out. There's a tiny space between each one. And then the answer is a separate file, but we'll let everybody answer
first. All
right,
Donald, you might want to write down your answers because they're going to play them in an order.
Everybody ready? There's a small bit of silence in between each one.
Okay.
I have a lot of kids.
I like musical theater, and I don't listen on Fridays, which is today, so I'm not listening.
Jewish.
All right, I got them all.
Okay, I think I got them too.
All right, okay. The first one's Tim Hobart.
Easy, Tim Hobart. Gabby is the second one.
Gabby is the second one. And
I think
and
Neil
the Goldman.
Last one.
Neil
Goldman
is
the last one. Yeah. All right, let's hear.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys better have gotten Tim Hobart, Gabby Allen Greenberg, and Neil Goldman. Or, I got to be honest, or the podcast is over. And that would bum out a lot of people because I do love my podcast.
That was the Fingers easiest.
Crossed.
That was the
I like that game, though.
Yeah, that was easy, though. That was really fun, though. That was fun, though. It was good to hear their voices, also. Is he still going?
I said 5, 6, 7, 8.
No.
Daniel.
We're going long.
We're already at an hour 23.
And we have barely talked about the fucking show. We got to speed through it now.
Okay.
Who should we have on? Who do you think would be the best guest of those three? I mean, they'd all be good, don't get me wrong, but who should we choose first?
I think I honestly believe that we should break them off into little groups, you know what I mean?
Well, Gabby, by the way, Gabby, in terms of coming up next, Gabby is the first, I'm looking at the schedule, wrote the next two. That's impossible.
But
she was, yeah, so maybe Gabby.
Let's reach out and see if she wants to do it.
Okay, Joelle, will you get? I don't have. I may not have her email anymore. Will you get her from us?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure everyone would also like to hear from a very successful female comedy writer in Hollywood. Who wouldn't love to hear about that?
Absolutely.
All right. Can we talk about this fucking show, Scrubs, Donald? We were on it.
Why do you have to put that type of handle on it?
Oh, what about, why is the guy sitting next to the dartboard in a bar? That guy is the worst seat in the world. He's literally sitting next to a dartboard as Sarah and Judy try and throw darts. I was like, that's a bad seat, buddy.
Yeah, it was. I think it's for comedy.
Yes. Oh, I had a feeling it was for comedy.
I think it's for comedy.
Patrick Bolton, our set dresser friend, was the bartender in that scene.
How about Elliot having hair on her lower back?
Yes. I think a lot of women probably do have a thin layer of hair back there.
Okay.
I don't know. Eric Estrada, Ponch, that was great, right?
Eric Estrada, one of my heroes as a youth. Everyone Me loved too. Chips growing
Me
up.
Me too. I got to tell you, my dad was so anti-gun that we were not allowed to have toy guns. And he was so anti-toy gun that when I had the John doll, it was like a Ken doll sized John from Chips. He took the little 1 centimeter gun away from me. Wasn't allowed to have the Chips gun. That's how anti-gun my dad was.
Yeah, well, you know.
So sorry.
That's how it is.
I should buy that doll on eBay and play with the gun. Donald and I did a very funny photo shoot. I don't know if we've mentioned this before. You guys can Google it. It was for People, a magazine, I think, Donald. And we dressed up like Eric Estrada and John from Chips.
We did.
And because I have blonde hair, I have a wig on, I assume. Everyone, of course, says I look like Dax Shepard, like they do, no matter what I fucking do.
And because I put a wig on and I look like Bruno Mars, I had a possibility at that time to be one of America's most sexiest men people's most sexiest men. Know what I mean? Which was really interesting.
And then you know, Dax went on to make the Chips movie, which you know, I was happy for him because he's an awesome guy. But, you know, you and I would have been a great Ponch and John.
I can't play Ponch, man.
No, you don't have to be a Hispanic Ponch. You could be African-American Zonch.
I think we're doing a disservice to all of the Latino.
We don't have to
American
do the exact
actors.
Thing. We could do California Highway Patrol on motorcycle. Anyway, we can't do it anyway. Dax did it. All right.
One of my favorite lines in the show: "Sweet dancing Jehovah, I punctured my brain."
Yeah, that was funny.
I laughed at that one.
That was funny. Kelso deaf, and everyone every time he walks by just saying all that shit to him.
Yes. And then Ted missing the bus and coming in a little too late
that
after Kelso's
so
ears fixed.
Funny when he
and
says,
giving him the business.
He goes, yeah. "There you are, you deaf bastard." Yeah. He was like, it's like no one had told Ted until it was too late. And he finally had it all stored up, ready to go. That was fucking funny.
Like, dude, like you over time you kind of gotta feel sorry for Ted, man. Like, oh my gosh. Dude, it's like, first of all, his boss is a jerk to him. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, he never seems to catch a break.
No,
ever.
Nothing ever works out for him.
Ever.
Nothing ever works out for him. What about Whack-a-Noobie at the carnival? Whack-a-Noobie.
Yeah, yeah. What about the fact that JD can't get can't use the giant mallet to get the to ring the bell at the carnival also?
Yeah, I can, by the way. But you know what is true about me? One thing that is true about me, and you can call me a nerd or a dork or a, what are the other synonyms are there, guys?
A geek?
You haven't said one bad word yet.
I do get nauseous on rides.
Oh.
I really do. First of all, I cannot fuck with like a teacup situation.
Like your whole life?
Yeah, I don't like them. I will go on a fast roller coaster that's straight and fast and takes big curves. I'm fine with that. But I cannot do anything spinning. I don't like the fucking thing that drops,
no Tower
the Haunted
of Terror.
Mansion.
Yeah,
okay. I've done that.
What?
It makes you want to puke.
Oh my gosh. That's you know my that favorite
thing
ride at
the cheap rides, the cheap thing that spins and the floor drops out?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know what? As I've gotten older, there's certain things that I can't do anymore. Like I used to be able to get on roller coasters and all of that stuff, no problem, and get on them over and over again. My 40th birthday, we went to Disneyland, and I remember this very well because Disney sponsored the trip and they hooked it up to where we had a guide and everything. They hooked it up for a person who's worked for Disney for a really long time. And we were able to get on the California Scream like 5 times.
Nice.
In a row.
That's the one that does the loop to
Does the loop. Yeah. Do you want to go again? Looper. Yeah. Do you want to go again? Yeah, we want to go again. And we did it again. Do you want to go again? Yeah, we want to go again. And we did it again. Do you want to go again? I don't know. Yeah, we want to. This is the thing that I like to do for my birthday. I like to invite all of my friends and their kids and let the kids have fun because I like to have I'm a Disneyland type of birthday. Like I'm a 46-year-old man who likes to go to Disneyland. We know. Okay. So anyway, my nephews, my nieces, a bunch of youth is with us. You want to go again? Yeah, we want to go again. The kids. I'm like, oh no, I don't think I can do it. For the rest of the day, you know when you get that nauseous, that's like when you make the sound.
I never had that.
What is?
Okay, it's the sound. It's you're trying to freaking relax your mouth from. You know how you get
did
watery.
You puke?
I did not puke, but for the rest of the day, oh, I had to go. That. For the rest of the day, I was going like this though.
I went to
trying to get my tongue to get that nauseous.
I went and
away.
Everyone was like, "We're going again." I was like, "I'm not." And I was like the parent that like waited by the exit for everybody.
That's it ruined my birthday, but it ruined the fact that I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to get on roller coasters again. And so since then I can only do roller coasters one time. And when I get off, I always feel that little bit of nausea.
That's Robot for Goodnight? I mean, what the hell was that? I must have made that up. I don't know what the hell was going on there.
How about the janitor getting a freaking new job because Kelso's deaf? And he turned it into like a radio show where he's freaking dissing people.
By the way, speaking of being dorky, I was the guy in high school who did the announcements.
Really?
Cool.
Yes. And I remember thinking, I mean, you know, with a group.
For
was
all
group
4 years? There all was 4 years? All
there was
4 years?
A team. There was, no. Okay. There was a team, you know, you had your sports team. Well, I had my announcements team.
I didn't play on any sports team in high school.
No, I'm making a joke saying like, you know, like as though it was a team and we had like practice where we'd be like, mommy made me match my M&Ms, the lips, the dip, the teeth, and the tongue. I would do the announcements. And I remember thinking I was really cool doing the announcements.
It's powerful.
Did you play like a xylophone where you're like, doo, 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 doo.
No, I remember. I think we had to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and it was written down so you didn't fuck it up. Little mistake. I think it's 1613 in Nicole Sullivan's room. The last time we're meeting with her, there's no door on the hinges. If you're someone who likes fuck ups in movies, for some reason the grips must have taken off the hospital room door, but you can just see the hinges sitting there. There's no door on the room.
That's interesting. You know, if you caught that, you're not watching the show. But
well,
anyway,
I like to look in the both the background and the foreground while I'm doing this podcast, Donald, because I want to deliver.
Well, while
to
the doing
people.
The while doing the podcast, absolutely. If you're listening to this and you're wanting to catch fuck ups and stuff, yeah, we're gonna try and catch that too. But watching movies and watching TV shows now and not being able to get into it because I'm noticing what's going on in the background or noticing what's going on because of mess-ups and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to do that now. I try to enjoy a movie as much as I can. I imagine it's got to be very difficult for you, Zach, being a director. And
I always look at stuff in the background, and sometimes it hurts my experience. But that is the price I pay, Donald, for being a movie maker. One of the last lines we say is, you can never underestimate the importance of listening. And I think that's a very simple but very smart sentence, that so much miscommunication comes from no one really truly listening to each other.
It's hard to listen. That's one of the hardest things to do in life. You know, it's a simple thing to do, but it's actually hard to shut your brain off and listen to somebody else's stuff.
Yeah, because our brains are going, oh, what's the thing I'm going to say next? Oh, he just reminded me of a story that now I'm going to tell. Oh, what's for dinner? And I strive to be someone that can be truly looking at you and listening when you talk to me.
That's one of my hardest things to do. And I've told stories about this before, you know, meeting my idols like George Lucas and stuff and not being able to listen because I was so geeked. It's a really good thing if you can listen to someone and hear. Because there are so many times in my life where if I would have listened, maybe the outcome of somebody else's life would have been better. But because I was caught up in my own shit and didn't listen, things were different. I'm sure everybody feels that. But this is something that I think we all take for granted, the ability to listen.
Yes. So listen to each other and listen to us as we end this show and beg you to vote. I am literally going to get down on my knees and ask you. I will watch. I'll do
this.
This
is
right
real.
Now.
This is actually happening.
He's doing it. He's on his knees.
I'm down on my knees.
He's clasped his hands together as if praying to a deity.
I've never asked you, listener, for anything. Please vote. Today is the day. Go make it happen. Even if you've got to wait in line, bring some snacks, bring a lawn chair, bring a podcast. If you've listened to all of this one, try another one.
Yes.
I just figured out I've been wondering how my dog gets in and out of the vegetable garden. And I just caught that little bitch, and I can call her a bitch because it's a female dog. I just caught how that little bitch is getting into my vegetable garden. I just saw her sneak out one of the fucking gate. Okay. Problem solved. You guys, go vote. We love you. Oh,
I have a quick question.
Go to the cottonbureau.com and then type in fake doctors to find all the merch. What, Donald?
A quick question.
What?
What do you say to the people who didn't register to vote now at this point? And we're speaking all
I think
of this.
There are some states where you can go on the day. You can if you're listening and you never registered, I think just go to iwillvote.com and you can find the answer. Some states you can show up on the day.
There it is.
All right, count us out, Donald. We love you, everybody.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey, guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at Tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com. And point your toes west.